for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Summer Family and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday morning, July the 4th, 2014, Jerry McGee is the speaker of this service teaching on Watch Over Your Heart.
Bless the Lord. Lord, we come before your throne and we just thank you, Lord, that you are God Almighty, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Commander-in-Chief of all the armies of heaven, and you even created the wicked for the day of judgment. We thank you, Lord, that you said the wicked is your sword. And Lord, we thank you that all things are created by you and for you, and there wasn't anything created that was created that wasn't created by you. We thank you that that no demon in hell can do anything that you don't let him do. We thank you that your plans and purposes cannot be thwarted. And Lord, we thank you that we will fear not in this world, because Lord, we want to walk in holiness and righteousness before you. Lord, I pray that my words will be like those, like well-driven nails. Lord, I loose over this meeting a spirit of the fear of the Lord, the conviction of sin, and a spirit of repentance to fall. Father, we pray in Jesus' name, every person that believes in Jesus with their head, but they've never been born again, will be born again today through this camp, Lord, camp meeting is over, that every person will leave here saved, delivered, and filled with your Holy Spirit. We thank you and praise you, Lord, for what you're going to do. I ask you, God, in Jesus' name, that you will order my thoughts as I commit my way to you. I just thank you that Satan, principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, wicked spirits in heavenly places are bound from this place in the name of Jesus. That no spirit that would not confess Jesus Christ as Lord can work in this place. Lord, we break every word of death, every word of iniquity, every curse, assignment, satanic ritual spoken over this meeting, over this camp, over Merrill, over Barbara, over Patty and Kevin and Linda and Rick, and over Sandy and Crystal and Dan, and over every person at this camp in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you and praise you. And Lord, we just say be glorified today in Jesus' name. Amen. And every day. Don't be deceived. Without holiness, no man or woman will see the Lord. You know, we're deceived to believe that we can pray a prayer and live any old way we want to and still get to heaven. That is a lie, and I want to expose it today in Jesus' name. Without holiness, no man or woman will see the Lord. And we're living in days that half-stepping is going to get you killed. The only hope you have of being protected with the one world order and all the things that are coming upon this earth is to walk in obedience to the Lord. That is your only protection. I share with my grandson, when we dwell in the secret place of the Most High God, we abide under His shadow and under His protection. And that shadow is the same shadow that the word says Peter shadow healed, but it was really God overshadowing Peter. And as I tell my grandson, when God overshadows you because you're dwelling in the secret place of the Most High God, the atmosphere under His shadow changes.
Amen.
For His good pleasure. Amen? But that's not the message, okay? I just wanted to share that. This message is watch over your heart, because the Bible says that from the heart flow the issues of life. The issues of life are all the things that you were born with through the generational iniquities of the forefathers. You were born with a bunch of stuff coming down your bloodline. The issues of life are the things that happened to you that you didn't repent of, that you didn't forgive. The times you let the sun go down on your anger. The issues of life are the sins you've committed and you've not confessed. Well, that's a whole lot of stuff that's buried down in our hearts. And we don't even know it's there. We've long forgotten. God uses your problems to show you what needs to be dealt with next. You can always tell what's been stored down there by listening. If you minister to people, listen to what comes out of people's mouths, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. If the thought life is totally coming out of the heart, it says in Matthew 15, and we're going to read that. But out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, and out of the heart proceeds evil words. And so you can know what's down there by listening to what comes out of your mouth and what you're thinking about. You know what kind of seeds have been planted. And so let's start. And the scripture says that if you've got a lust problem, you can't say it was God that tempted you, but you're drawn away by the lust that's down in your heart. Okay, so the lust down in your heart, does that mean something has been planted down in your heart that's there now that's drawing you away from obedience to the Lord? Okay, go to Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. Help me get the Bible the right direction. Proverbs chapter 4, verse 20. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. It means stretch out your ear to listen. You know, over and over in the Word of God, Jesus said, to him who has ears, let him hear. They all had ears. He wasn't talking about the two things that are growing on the side of your head. He was talking about having a hearing heart. And that also has to do with having a hearing eyes, the eyes of the understanding, the eyes of the heart. The other day I was looking up the word hardness of heart, and it means to be callous, stupid, and blind. So if you've got blindness, it showed me another area of sin that I needed to deal with. Is because of the generational and even my hardness of heart that needed to be dealt with. Because being able to see spiritually and hear spiritually has to do with a hearing heart, or a heart that can see in the spirit. And so I think probably all of us have to deal with hardness of heart. And so, my son, give attention to my words, incline your ears to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. That could be another eye problem too, couldn't it? Or in other problems too. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all the body. So you see, us watching over our heart has to do with our body being healthy. It says, watch over your heart with all diligence, for from it flow the issues of life. And those things flow out of the mouth and up into the thought life and then affect our actions, because every evil action has to do with the thought. God tells us to take our thoughts captive. You cannot take your thoughts captive without dealing with your heart and getting it clean. Because when your heart's clean, your words are going to be clean. And when your heart's clean, your thoughts are going to be clean. And so if you have perverted thoughts and you're drawn into sin, to sexual sin, to any kind of sin, it's something that's been planted down in your heart through childhood issues, through sins you've committed, sins that have been committed against you. James 3 says, no man can tame the tongue. It's a restless evil and full of deadly poison. You can't tame the tongue, but when you get your heart pure, your words will be pure. The more pure your heart is, the more pure your words, the more pure your thoughts, and the more pure your actions. It says, so we're to watch over our heart. God tells us to watch what's coming into our heart. Watch the things you do. Take care how you listen. Because it says in Mark 4 that if you don't take care how you listen and what you listen to, that even what you think you have will be stolen away. It says, put away from you a deceitful mouth and put devious speech far from you. Let your eyes look directly ahead. Now, that's another eye scripture for me. I point out eyes because this is something that I'm looking for the sin in my life and in the generations that have brought the eye problems that God healed in Jesus' name. Said that way. Let your eyes look directly ahead. And let your gaze be fixed straight in front of you. Watch the paths of your feet, and all your ways will be established. Do not turn to the right or to the left. Turn your foot from evil. And that could be a problem, a spiritual root to foot problems. turn your foot from evil. And so God tells us to watch over our heart. Many people today are distressed and perplexed by the influx of trash and perversion that comes through their minds. And this causes them to live in defeat and failure. You know, we come to a deliverance seminar and we come and get delivered. Then we go back home and we indulge in pornography. We indulge in TV. We indulge in movies. Some of you may get mad at me, but let me tell you something. If you're going to get delivered here and then you go back and you pervert your mind and you defile yourself, you get contaminated all over again. Because if the Word of God is seed and words are seed, then you need to watch what kind of seed you're allowing to be planted in your heart. Out here. You know, some people relish those evil, trashy thoughts, and other people are appalled by them. And they wonder, why am I having these thoughts? Where are they coming from? Well, God says they're coming out of the heart. Somebody didn't watch over their heart in the generations. That's something that needs to be broken, generational curses. And we haven't watched over our heart. You know, I see parents come and they want their children delivered, but yet they, 24/7, the kids are in front of a TV set, and the witchcraft that's on the TV is just, I haven't watched television for 20 years. Last time I saw a movie was in 1978, and I tell you, I promised God if he let me get out of there before he came back, I wouldn't go back. I don't watch TV now, but I do turn on the football games because I have a grandson-in-law that's with the Pittsburgh Steelers. So I watch the game, but I mute the commercials. And there's one that's called, and maybe Randy, you can tell me, it's Half Human, or it's a commercial that Fox News puts on called Half Human. Well, this is really a picture of them wanting to change people's DNA. They're making you super soldier. Don't you want to be smarter, more intelligent? Don't you want to be stronger? Don't you want to be braver? Don't you want to be more invincible? Just let us put whatever they want to put in you to change your DNA, and they're really putting demons in you. But I got a picture of when they muted the TV screen, they were doing something to this police officer or this soldier was changing his DNA. You know, you watch programs like that, and let me tell you, you're full of demons. So it's no use to come and get them cast out if you can go and get them put back in. Yeah. And so, even though the Bible says in Psalms 101:3, I will put no unclean thing before my eyes, people go on and do it. We don't know what God's Word says. Galatians 6:7 says, what a man sows, he will also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will reap corruption. Let me say this too. If you're a child of God, does a godly parent discipline his children when they get out of line? He does, doesn't he? Well, when we get out of line, if we're God's children, let me tell you, we're going to get whipping. A big whipping. I want to say, God, please show me. And you know, you say, Lord, you said if we ask wisdom for wisdom, you'll give it to us. And if you're asking him to give you wisdom and you're not hearing anything, will you stand until he tells you something? Proverbs 12:14 says, a man will be satisfied with good by the fruit of his words, and the deeds of a man's hands will return to him. Hosea 10:12 says, sow with a view to righteousness, reap in accordance with kindness. In other words, if you sow something righteous, you're going to reap something kind. If you sow perversion, then you're going to reap perversion. If you sow, if you're committing adultery, you're going to reap sexual sin. If you, you know, my son died of AIDS. He sowed a lot of homosexuality. And judgment was all over everything he sinned with. And whatever we sin with is where the judgment is. You know, I've been seeking the Lord for a long time for him to give me I was calling it spiritual roots. But let me tell you, it's just sin.
It's sin. If you want God to bless you, you better deal with every sin in your life, every hidden secret sin. As Diane was sharing this morning, that there's secret things that are down in our heart, hidden places that no one knows about but us and God. And those things have got to be dealt with. If you don't deal with them, I believe that the Bible says everything hidden in darkness is going to be brought to light. Oh, dear Lord. So we're going to sow with view to righteousness. If you sow with a view of unrighteousness, guess what's going to come up? Perversion and whatever else you did. It's no wonder that there's no victory in the lives of believers. As they continue to violate their consciences and defile their lives by watching stuff they shouldn't watch, most all TV today is geared toward the occult. Witchcraft. Little children that are watching TV. The Bible says, Jesus said in Luke 6:47, after a man is fully trained, he becomes like his teacher. Okay, so a little kid is sitting in front of the TV and the TV's teaching him. Guess what? He becomes like his teacher. We've had parents come here that their kids are just doing all kinds of things, but daddy keeps exposing them to the wrong kind of things. Children are just a reflection of their parents, little children. And when they're grown, they can make their own decisions. If you've trained them up in the way they should go, then they're going to come back to the way you trained them. But so many little children nowadays are being trained by the wrong thing. It's really sad. We're to sow with a view to righteousness. So we want to sow things that produce the godly thing. You know, in the parable of the sower, he gives the parable that the sower went out to sow, and he was sowing the word of God. And so as I share and as we share and teach, we're sowing the word of God, and each of you are a spiritual garden. We're all spiritual gardens. And it's easy to detect what kind of seed's been planted by looking at the fruit of it. What's manifesting? That is, like if you plant, for example, if you plant corn, you get a stalk of corn with bunches of ears of corn and hundreds of kernels of corn. You get the same thing, you get more, and you get later. And so you look at the fruit to tell what kind of seed that's been planted down in your heart. You know, if you've ever been like me, I remember a movie that I saw in college. It was called A Love Affair to Remember. I don't know if it's probably outdated. Most of y'all have never heard of such a movie. But it was Cary Grant and Grace Kelly, and they were committing an adulterous affair. And he was running around on his wife. And you find yourself sympathizing with the adulterer. How perverted is that? And so you're really coming into agreement with evil. Or compromise the word of God by listening to someone take God's name in vain or blaspheme God. Over the years, I've had people come to me and they said, well, you know, I have a fear. I keep feeling like somebody's going to get me or not. I said, you ever watch scary movies? Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I've seen a few scary movies way back in the past, and there's always somebody lurking around the corner to get you. And so seeds of fear has been planted in your life through watching evil movies. So if you've got a lot of fear and you watch a lot of movies, scary movies, you need to make a list of all those movies and renounce them and break soul ties and command the demons that came in through that to leave you. In 1993, I read David Wilkerson's book called Put the Trumpet to Your Mouth. And he said that God gave him a choice. Do you want God's anointing or do you want the TV? You have a choice. And he chose to turn his TV off. Well, I thought that was kind of radical at first because I like to watch Charles Bronson and Clint Eastwood movies with my husband. And I had a terrible time of getting into strife with people. And it was because seeds of strife was being planted in my life through watching those movies. But anyway, after about a year, I knew he was right. But after a year, I decided I want God's anointing. And it's certainly not what I want it to be, but I'm working on it. And I want to have a pure heart. Since 1992, I play the Word of God while I sleep, and I pray it. I play it as loud as I'm talking so that it's not mumbled. But I want the Word, the seeds of God's Word, to be planted in my heart. And it's made it really easy for me to remember Scripture, even though I may not remember what I heard. Because, you know, Song of Solomon says, your body sleeps. He said, I'm asleep, but my body's asleep, but I'm awake. Your spirit man never sleeps. And so that's one way that you can meditate on the Word of God, and on your bed, is to listen to the Word of God. I have a friend that's husband don't want to hear it, and she wants to hear the Word of God so desperately. In fact, this is, if y'all know Rod and Rebecca, it's Rebecca's mother sleeps with a little cassette thing in her ear where she can listen to the Word of God while she sleeps. You've heard the expression, garbage in and garbage out. Whatever you put into your life is what's going to come out. I liked what Lonnie said last night. It's your job that makes yourself happy. It's not nobody else's job to keep you happy. I think I said that right. Anyway, that's your job. It's your job to watch your heart, too. No one else is going to watch over your heart for you. And 1 Corinthians 3:9 says, you're a building, you're a house, you're a field. Go to Mark chapter 4, please. Verse 3. Listen to this. Behold, the sower went out to sow. Now, of course, the sowing is the Word of God. As he was sowing, some seed fell beside the road, and the birds came and ate it up. Other seed fell on the rocky soil, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up because it had no depth of soil. And after this, after the sun had risen, it was scorched and became, and because it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked it, and it yielded no crop. Other seeds fell into the good soil, and as they grew up and increased, they yielded their crop and produced 30, 60, and 100 fold. Now, there's four types of soil there, if you'll notice. There's the soil where the seed fell beside the road. There's the soil where it was sown on hard ground. And then there was the soil that was sown among the thorns. The seed that was sown among the thorns. And it says the worries and cares of riches of the world choked it out. And then there was the good soil that produced fruit 30, 60, and 100 fold. So your soil, Isaiah 5 says, the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel. So we're a vineyard of the Lord. And we're soil. And every person in this room fits one of the categories of types of soil. It says in verse 9, and he was saying, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And soon as he was alone, he followed along with the 12, began asking him about the parable. And he was saying to them, to you, disciples, because disciples were speaking to them, it's been granted to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. But to those out there, those who are not disciples, those who are the multitudes, I speak to them in parables. Now, a disciple is a person that lets God discipline them. It means disciplined one. Jesus said, you'll know you're my disciples if you have love for one another. Another place he says, bear fruit, and so prove to be my disciple. So if we're not bearing fruit and proving to be his disciple, we don't belong to him. Only disciples get to heaven. Only those that let God deal with their sin and deal with their stuff, and we all have it. I mean, there's not a day goes by that I don't get delivered from something because I'm dealing with my stuff all the time. And I really know that's why God has given me the strength and energy that he's given me, is because I continuously deal with sin. I want God to change me every day from glory to glory. I want to please him. When I stand before him, I don't want him to say, depart from me, I never knew you. And so he said, to you disciples have been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom, but to those, the multitudes out there who are outside, get everything in parables, so that while seeing, they may see, and not perceive, and while hearing, they may hear and not hear, not understand. Otherwise, they might return and be forgiven or be healed. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all the parables? And right here he's saying that if you can understand the parable of the sower, you can understand all the parables in the Bible. I want to ask you, what type of soil are you? Are you the soil where the seed fell beside the road and the demons came, the Satan came and got it? Are you the soil that was on hard ground where you didn't produce any fruit and the minute the circumstances of life hit you, you fell away? Are you the soil who allows the worries and cares and the pleasures and the desire for other things to choke out the word so that it's not fruitful? Are you the soil that's producing 30, 60, and 100-fold? God, I want to be that kind of soil. And that's another root. I could say that's another root to hearing problems, seeing problems. You know, I have so many forefathers that claim to know the Lord, but I'm telling you, I'm not sure they were disciples. So that's something else. We can break a generational curse there. Now, how did I get on that page? Okay. Let me find my place here. And so they go to Jesus in verse 13, and he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word. Now Jesus is going to explain this parable to the disciples. These are the ones, they're sown beside the road. These are the ones who the word is sown, and when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in their hearts. So the first soil is a picture of hearing the word of God, but because they don't understand, I don't believe that, the devil takes it and steals it. Are you that kind of soil? In a similar way, let's see, let me back up. These are the ones who are sown beside the road. When the word is sown and when they hear, immediately Satan comes and takes away the word which has been sown in them. In a similar way, these are the ones in whom the seed was sown on the rocky places. That's the hard places. They hear the word, immediately they receive it with joy. Oh yeah, they want to be saved. Hallelujah. Yes, I believe in Jesus. Immediately, they receive it with joy. Who doesn't want to go to hell? Yeah, I believe in Jesus. So they receive Jesus with joy. And then it says, and they have no firm root in themselves, but only are temporary. When affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. So this is the picture of a person who received Jesus, and he walks along and he hears the scripture that says, if you don't forgive, God will forgive you. You've got to forgive. You can't let the sun go down on your angry. Well, I'm mad. Anger. Well, I'm mad. And so the word persecutes him, and he falls away because he don't want to go. He don't want to deny himself and take up his cross and follow the Lord. Verse 17. They have no firm root in themselves, but only temporary. When affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones of whom the seed was sown among the thorns. These are the ones who have heard the word, but the worries of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. And that's something I have to really be careful about, because I have a kennel with 25 adult dogs and just got rid of 30 puppies. And I mean, it's a business that you, I mean, it's 24/7 job. And I tell you, I really have to work at making time for the Lord, because a lot of mornings it's like I want to hit the ground running because there's people coming and all kinds of things. So that's something we all have to do. We cannot let the worries of the world, busyness, choke out the word. That's a priority. I get so many emails, I just, a long email, somebody will send me a letter that 10 pages long. I'm thinking, if I got time to read all that, I'm going to read the word. And there's one lady mad at me. I said, of course, she would send me these 14-page letters, and they were all the same. It was a rehash. The whole thing was a rehash. I said, if you want me to read your email, keep them to two paragraphs. Don't send me these long letters because, and I haven't heard from her since. She got mad because she was appalled that I didn't have time to read that. And of course, that wasn't the only one I had to read. And Lord, I pray you bless that lady. I pray that you bring her to repentance, to genuine repentance, Lord, and to not be the place where she always has to rehash the same old scenarios. It says, but the worries of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desire for other things enter in and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So those first three soils, they don't even go to heaven. And you may want to disagree with that, but Jesus said, bear fruit and so prove to be my disciples. And it says in Matthew chapter 7, I want you to go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7, verse 13 says, enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter into it. Now I hear these false prophets say, boy, there's going to be a great revival and two-thirds of the world is going to be saved. That is a heresy. Because there is a narrow way that leads to eternal life and few there be that find it. I tell you who the two-thirds are going to be worshiping is the beast. It says, for the way is small and the way is narrow that leads to life and few there be that find it. Beware of the false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Jeremiah 46 and Isaiah 14 tells you the tree cutters are demons. They are executors of God's law. You break God's law, and guess what? You've got a demon problem. It says, so then you will know them by their fruits. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, he clarifies who's going to enter. But he who does the will of my Father who's in heaven will enter. That's pretty clear. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name and didn't in your name cast out demons and didn't we perform many miracles in your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. And so if we don't produce fruit, we're not his disciples. So the kind of seed that's been planted is easy to detect by the kind of fruit it produces. James 3:14 through 18 says, but if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your heart, do not be arrogant and lie against the truth. This wisdom is not that which comes down from above, but it is earthly, natural, and demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there is disorder in every evil thing. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. The scripture says in Hebrews, pursue peace with all men and holiness without which no man will see the Lord. So we're to watch over our heart. Go to Proverbs chapter 12, please. Not Proverbs, I'm sorry. Matthew 12:37. Bible and the pages stick together. It says in verse 33, either make the tree good and the fruit good, or make the tree bad and the fruit bad, for the tree is known by its fruit. And it's the fruit of the Holy Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, and self-control. And it's produced when you deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Him. It's the character and nature of Jesus. It's Jesus, His personality, coming through you when you're dead to yourself. And when you're alive to yourself, you produce the fruit of the flesh, which is Satan's fruit. Now, you might want to believe that. But Jesus said, if you're going to follow me, you're going to have to deny yourself. And I'll be honest with you, I haven't come to know what all that means yet. It's kind of scary. We don't really comprehend all that means, but we want to learn. We want to know what it means. But God, please be patient with us. He is patient with us, isn't he? He's been patient with me. Oh, thank God. You know, the difference is, we're all messes. The difference is, do you have a heart that's pliable and teachable, or do you have a stubborn, rebellious heart? I know a man that is a licensed ordained minister. He is so mean, so cruel, refuses to forgive, refuses to pray, and he believes he's going to walk on the way to heaven. The other day, I prayed for an opportunity to talk to him about his sin. He is so sick, and he keeps getting sicker because his wife is probably one of the most godly women I know. Reads the word, prays for him. Living with him, she's even leaving for joy. They're fixing to cut the electric off. They're fixing to, you just wouldn't believe what this precious woman has to go through. The other day she said, how are you doing? I'm doing great. I'm even leaving for joy. I think, oh, that is so convicting. She's leaving for joy. She said, it's a little bit awkward. But she said, you know, there's a blessing in that when you're going through trials, bill collectors calling, no job, no food. She ate for a whole month. She ate beans and cabbage because there was nothing to eat. Godly woman, but she's living under the curses of her husband. She's blessed. If she didn't have him, and I'm not encouraging anything, divorce or anything like that, but she's a blessed woman, and people are getting food for her because they love her. But the other day I had a word for him, and I prayed, and I said, has anybody told you that you're sick because of sin? The sin in your life? And I said, you know what? I said, God's dealing with me in areas too. Everyone has sin. But the difference is, do you have a heart that's pliable, teachable, submitted? We're messes, all of us. You know what delight in the Lord means? Delight yourself in the Lord. It means to make your heart soft, tender, and pliable to the Lord. And he got so mad. He talked nice to me, but he's been so mad ever since I said that to him. She's confronting me about my personal sin. And ridiculing, mocking, and make fun. And I said, you know what? If you don't repent, you won't get better. You'll get worse. And that's what God's word says. I'm not cursing him. That's what God's word says. And Jesus said, you brood of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak what is good? For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart, what's been stored down in the heart. The good man brings out his good treasure, what is good, and the evil man brings out of his evil treasure what is evil. But I tell you that every careless word that people speak, they will give an account of in the day of judgment. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words condemned. Why is that? Because your words reveal your heart. So that's why we need to work out our salvation with fear and trembling and say, you know, Lord, why am I thinking this? Lord, I hear what's coming out of my mouth. Where'd that come from? And find out how it got there and deal with it. And repent. Okay, go to Matthew 15, verse 19, 17. Do you not understand that everything that goes into the mouth passes through the stomach and is eliminated? But the things that proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and those defile the man. For out of the heart comes evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, false witnesses, slander. These are the things which defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. Okay, if I'm sitting and watching perverted things, watching movies, even the Walt Disney stuff is so demonic, a lot of it, so much witchcraft. I went and took a friend to Disneyland, Disney World or Disneyland, because she'd never been to anything, and so she came out of Satanism. Huh. So we get on the train and we go through the front gate. I mean, you know, you get on the little train, and she said, Jerry, there is so much demonic stuff here. She said, let's get out of here. We went through, got off the train, and walked out the front door. She did not want to go because she said it was, she said, so much demonic activity. And little kids are going there and getting filled with demons, demonic toys, demonic programs, and they're all geared to corrupt and to program. And so if I'm watching those things and I'm planting seeds of murder, adultery, strife, fornication, witchcraft, threats, false witnesses, what good does it do for me to go to a deliverance camp and get delivered if I'm going home and corrupt myself some more? Honestly, and you might want to kick me out of here, but it's impossible to live a holy life and keep on contaminating yourself and defiling yourself. We need to be washed in the blood every day by His cleansing blood. Never think that you can live in divine health and victory and a holy life and continue to corrupt yourself. Failure to guard your heart and your intend to your vineyard will cause your end to be like the sluggard in Proverbs 24. Go to Proverbs 24. Let me just read it. It says, Proverbs 24:30-34, I passed by the field of a sluggard and by the vineyard of a man lacking sense. And behold, I want you to notice he was lacking sense. Sluggers think they're so smart, too. If you've ever known a slugger, they're about the smartest person in the whole world, they think. It says, I passed by the vineyard of a slugger and by the vineyard of a man lacking sense, and behold, it was completely overgrown with thistles. Its surface was covered with nettles, and its stone wall was broken down. Now, what do you think happens to a garden or a vineyard if it has no wall to keep the animals and the rabbits and stuff out of? It's run over. That's a picture of the powers of darkness overrunning your garden. It says, and its stone wall was broken down. When I saw, I reflected upon it, I looked and received instruction. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little, just a little, folding of the hands to rest. Then your poverty will come as a robber and your walk like an armed man. It's kind of like you can put a frog in boiling water and he'll jump immediately out. But you put him in water and you gradually increase the temperature and he'll stand there till he is killed. If something affects my conscience, it's impossible to have a strong faith in God. Proverbs 3:21 says, if your conscience is clear, you have confidence before God. And that word in the Greek means not only faith and trust in God, but it also means freedom of speech. James 1:14 says, each one is tempted when he's carried away by and enticed by his own lust. In other words, we can only be tempted by the defilements and stuff that's down in our heart. That's a revelation. You can only be tempted if it's down in your heart, by the lust that's down in your heart. And so to restate, defilement means to corrupt chastity, to debauch, to violate, to tarnish the purity, the character by lewdness. It means to be tainted, to stain, to contaminate, to sully, to render impure by sin. It means to become polluted, to be profaned or made common, to be made unclean or unhallowed. Sully means would be like to have a basket of white, wet towels, for example, and throw some black socks on the top. They would contaminate or sully it. So evil thoughts, evil actions come out of the parts of our hearts that's unsanctified. That's why God says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So whatever's coming is a part that's not sanctified, and He wants to sanctify those things. The word, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, that word in the Greek, means deliverance from the molestation of the enemy. Every place you have an issue, you are molested by the enemy in those areas. And that's why God uses the problem to show you what's next. So for us to do this, we have to deal with the evil seeds that have been planted in our heart that produce the lust to sin. The good news is that Jesus died at Calvary, that we can be cleansed from these things. It says, if you confess your sins, God is faithful and just to forgive you and can cleanse you of all unrighteousness. Hebrews 9:13-14 says, for if by the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of heifers, sprinkling those who've been defiled, sanctify for the cleansing of the flesh, how much more with the blood of Christ, who through his eternal spirit offered himself without blemish to God to cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God. And so without a careful guarding of our hearts, doorways are opened up to defilement. And we're responsible for what we allow in our heart. If we've sinned, we need to ask God to show us, and we all have sinned. We're all sinners. We're all a work in progress. God doesn't show you, you know, I can tell you that Jesus is Lord of my life right now, and I've repented of everything I know, but I still got so much corruption down in my heart I don't even see. And it will manifest by thoughts, by words I speak, by attitudes. And that's why I need to say, Lord, why is that there? How'd that get there? He just loves to tell us. He says if we ask wisdom, he'll give it. And if we don't believe, he's going to give it. And I've been this way. I've been like a ship driven of the wind and tossed. Did he say it? Did he not? Did he say it? Did he not? And I thank God that he's delivered me lately. When I say, God, will you give me wisdom? I know he gives it to me. So I've been delivered in that area, thank the Lord. But it had most of my life, it's not been that way. Did he, didn't he? Did he, didn't he? So are you a person that's driven of the wind and tossed? Whoever you sin with, you've got a soul tie and you have their demons. According to the Word of God, skillful listening is a non-negotiable skill for every believer. It's very easy to slip into what the Scripture calls dullness of hearing. And Jesus makes it clear, ultimately, how we hear, it reveals who we are. Go to John 8:43, please. It says, why do you not understand what I'm saying? Jesus said, it is because you cannot hear my word. Now, in verse 32, he says, if you abide in my word, you're my disciples and you'll know the truth. If you abide in my word, you're truly my disciples and you'll know the truth, and the truth will set you free. And then he says in verse 43, why do you not understand what I'm saying? He's speaking to the Jews, the religious folks. Is it not because you cannot hear my word? You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason, you do not hear them because you are not of God. Another place it says that whoever practices sin is of the devil, in 1 John 3, I believe. In the words practice, are you a practicing sinner? Or do you sin occasionally? John 10:4-27, Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice and they obey me and they'll not follow the voice of a stranger. And he said over and over in the Bible, he said over and over 9 times in the Word of God, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. In Deuteronomy 29:4, he says, yet to this day the Lord has not given you a heart to know, nor eyes to see, nor ears to hear. And I just remembered, I forgot a scripture. I want you to go to Deuteronomy 22:9 about if we're the vineyard of the Lord of hosts and we're putting the Word of God in us, and then we mix other seed with God's good seed, the bad seed corrupts the good seed. And that's in Deuteronomy 22:9. I'm sorry I'm having to spit on these pages, but they back together. 22:9. You shall not sow your vineyard with two kinds of seed, or all the produce of the seed which you sow and the increase of the vineyard will become defiled. How many of you who've had a garden know that you don't have to take care of the weeds, but you do have to take care of the good plants? Because the weeds will choke out the good. And it's the same with the Word of God. You're putting the Word of God in your heart here, you go home and contaminate yourself, that bad seed is going to corrupt the good. And if you don't take care how you listen, even what you think you have will be taken, will be stolen from you. Okay, some reasons why we need to take care how we listen is that you lose what you think you have, and listening to the wrong voice will bring us into deception and delusion. When the blind lead the blind, we all fall in the ditch. Is that right? And that's another good eye scripture. Blind people that have followed blind people. Only the blind follows the blind. That was a revelation to me. I was driving along one day and the Lord said, when the blind lead the blind, they all fall in the ditch. And I thought, oh, you have to be blind to follow the blind. Okay, Lord, I forgive me for being blind, following the blind. Forgive me for being the blind, leading the blind. I forgive my forefathers for being the blind and led the blind, and the blindness that came down through following the blind. And the blind will only let the blind lead them. Wise people, discerning people, don't follow the blind. God doesn't want us to obey demons. He does want us to obey His Spirit. Failing to listen to God and authority can result in hearing and deafness. This is why Jesus said to him who has ears, let him hear. One spiritual root to deafness is not listening to your mom and dad, not listening to God. It amazes me sometimes that these people that think they have a prophetic word from God, when they're so full of rebellion, they never listen to their dad or their authority in life. So what makes me think God's speaking to them? Without hearing God, we'll be led astray off into rebellion and death. Why should I take care how I listen? Because the word is seed and words are seed. So I don't want to let the wrong words corrupt the good. Failure to listen hardens my heart. And a good example was Pharaoh. Moses spoke God's word to Pharaoh and his heart was hardened because he refused to listen. I need to take care of how I listen because it is apples of gold and sayings of silver to those that listen. And I was going to look up that word to see what it meant and never got around to it. Proverbs 25:12 says, like an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Listening proves I have wisdom and a teachable heart. A wise man will listen, but a fool goes on and suffers for it. We need to listen to correction to stay on God's path and on the highway of holiness. Proverbs 19:27. Cease listening, my son, to discipline, and you'll stray from the words of knowledge. We need to listen to the voice of God, the Good Shepherd, to get our prayers answered. Proverbs 28:9. He who turns away his ear from listening to the law, even his prayer, is an abomination. I want to ask you, is your ear turned away from the law of God and the voice of God to do your own thing? I encourage you to turn back to the Lord before it's too late. We need to listen to God because if we continue to refuse to listen to Him, He will eventually not listen to us. Go to Proverbs chapter 1, please.
Proverbs chapter 1,
verse 23. Turn to my reproof. Behold, I'll pour out my spirit on you, and I'll make my words known to you. What a wonderful promise. Because I called and you refused, I stretched out my hand and no one paid attention. You wouldn't listen to me. And you neglected all my counsel, and you did not want my reproof. I will laugh at your command. I will laugh at your calamity. I'll mock when your dread comes. When your dread comes like a storm, and your calamity comes like a whirlwind, when distress and anguish come upon you, then they will call on me, but I will not answer. They will seek me diligently, but they will not find me, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, which is to turn from evil. They would not accept my correction, my counsel. They spurned all my reproof. so they'll eat the fruit of their own way and be satiated with their own devices. For the waywardness of the naive will kill them, and the complacency of fools will destroy them. But he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. What a promise. If we listen to God, we'll dwell securely and be at ease from the dread of evil. I tell you, the dread of evil is coming, but God is going to protect his children. The one world order is just God's judgment on wicked people and on the church that's half-stepping. You know, a spiritual harlot is a person that prays the prayer to receive Jesus, and then their heart goes after other lovers. They don't listen to God. And if you read Revelation, it says that the beast eats the harlot. And there's two suppers in the Bible. There's the marriage supper of the Lamb, where you eat with Jesus, and there's one with the gathering of the vultures where you get ate. And that's the powers of darkness devouring the harlot church. It's sad, but not everybody who says, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. But those who do the will of the Father who's in heaven. So we need to listen to be protected from the enemy. We need to listen to receive our marching orders from the Lord. We need to spend more time listening than talking. I've got a few friends that talk so much you can't stand to be around them very long. The Bible says a babbling fool will be thrown down. Lord, make our words like Samson that don't fall to the ground. Listening causes the eyes of your heart to be enlightened. Listening keeps you from the harlot who says, turn in here. That voice that says, turn in here. But wisdom says, turn this way. Okay, if you will, stand up and please ask the Lord to show you the sins he wants you to confess. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to search my heart, test my thoughts, let me know the truth that sets me free. Lord, am I been a half-stepper? Am I walking in obedience to you? Have I been that person who turns away his ear from listening to your law? God, I don't want judgment to come on me. You know, Psalm 32 says, I'll confess my fault in the living. I'll confess my... How blessed is the man whose sins are... I'll have to read it. Psalm 32, I'll read this before y'all pray. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. And all you have to do is stop doing it and confess your sins to God. Whose sin is covered. How blessed is the man whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit. When I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away, and that word means became old and wore out. That's what it means in the Hebrew. Through my groaning all day long, for day and night your hand was heavy upon me. My vitality was drained away as with the fever heat of summer. I acknowledged my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I'll confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave me the guilt of my sins. The Old Living Bible said, I'll confess my faults while there's still time before judgment overtakes me. And in other words, I'm going to hurry and confess my sin. I'm not going to let the sun go down on my sin. I'm going to confess my sin before the devil gets his teeth in me. I acknowledge my sin to you, my iniquity I did not hide. I said, I'll confess my fault, my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. Therefore, let everyone who is godly pray in a time when you may be found, because there's a time when he won't be found, as we just read in Proverbs 1. Surely in a flood of great waters they'll not reach you, him. There's another flood coming. It won't be a flood of water. It's a flood of deception that's inundated this earth. The scripture says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Revelation 12 says that the devil pours forth water like a flood against the woman of the church to sweep her away. And we see that happening over the news media, over the internet. Surely in a flood of great waters, they'll not reach him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. when we listen and we have our sins covered. So, Lord, search my heart. I ask for the truth, Lord, that sets me free. And just repent of everything the Lord shows you, and then when you're through repenting, sit down and we'll do some deliverance. You know, there was a man at the last camp we prayed for, and he said, I feel like the demons are snatching my parts of my body out. I said, did you watch the body? Did you see a movie? And I've never seen a movie, but I've heard the word body snatchers. Anyway, he said, yeah, he watched the movie Body Snatchers. Is it any wonder why he thought the demons were snatching the body, snatching his body out? And, you know, I have no doubt that most of y'all, some of you have got sickness in your body. This is demonic. It's rooted in sin. And you can be as submitted as you know how to be, but there's stuff down there that's not resolved, and we don't know if God can't show us all that at once. We couldn't take it. So it's to get our heart pure. And I'm thankful that God's taught me to go with the problem. Why is this problem here? How did it get here? And deal with it. And that's working out your salvation with fear and trembling. So Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to forgive me for setting evil before my eyes, not taking care how I listen. Forgive me for having ears, but I have ears that hear not. I forgive my forefathers. Everybody pray with me. I forgive my forefathers that, Lord, they were disciples. You gave them eyes to see not, ears to hear not, and a heart that could not understand so they could turn and be healed. And I forgive my forefathers. I ask you to forgive me, Lord, for defiling myself, not walking in obedience, not walking in righteousness, not walking in holiness. God, I just ask you to forgive me for sowing to the flesh, reaping corruption. Forgive me, Lord, that my deeds have returned to me. And Lord, forgive me for not being satisfied with good by the fruit of my words. Forgive me for not sowing with a view to righteousness. Forgive me for contaminating my life. Forgive me for being a poor example to my family. Lord, forgive me for sitting under things that have programmed me with seeds of fear and terror and torment and adultery and bitterness and lust and greed. Forgive me for these things. Forgive me for sexual perversion, looking at pornography, setting my eyes on evil. God, would you please forgive me for the despair and the depression and the hopelessness because of my sin? God, forgive me for anger and rage. I hold an unforgiveness toward people that's opened me up to torment and sickness, rebellion. Forgive me for rebellion, having a spirit of Antichrist. There's a spirit of Antichrist in the stuff that you're trying to, that you look at. It's just that some of it's so subtle, it's like a thin thread that runs through it of witchcraft. But now it's getting blatant, more and more blatant. Forgive me, Lord, for compromising with the world. Forgive me for loving the world. You said, Lord, that I hate you if I love the world. Forgive me for being a spiritual adulteress. Forgive me for being lawless. Forgive me for not watching over my heart. Forgive me for being the kind of soil that doesn't produce 30, 60, 100 fold. Forgive me for being the soil where the seed's sown beside the road, that I don't believe it, the demons get it, Satan gets it. Forgive me for being the soil that the worries and cares and pleasures of the world choke out the word, make it unfruitful. Forgive me for receiving you with joy, but because of the hardness of heart and not wanting to deny myself, take up my cross, I've fallen away. God, would you forgive me? Forgive me, Lord, for not sowing seeds of righteousness. Forgive me for jealousy and selfish ambition, disorder, every evil thing, not having the wisdom that comes from above. I ask you to remind me to listen to my words and to listen to what's coming up in my thought box. Forgive me for sowing my vineyard with two kinds of seed. Defiling the good seed, making my life dirty, unclean, polluted, debased, unholy, violating my chastity, making myself impure and not fit for you to use, Lord. Forgive me for having the wrong focus. Forgive me for not taking my thoughts captive. Forgive me for having a conscience that's been violated so I can't have a strong faith in you. Lord, I ask you to break the programming, I ask you to unravel all the mind control and all the programming by which I've allowed myself to be programmed by the world. Forgive me for evil actions. Forgive me for thinking that anybody can help me without repentance. Forgive me for not carefully guarding my heart, not taking care how I listen. Lord, I ask you to bring back what's been stolen. You know, it's been stolen. You've got to get back in the Word. The Word of God is your life. You've got to get in the Word of God because there may be a time you don't have the Word of God. You better take it to your heart. Forgive me for not being your sheep. Forgive me for being deceived about my salvation. Forgive me for being a half-stepper, a hypocrite, a spiritual adulterer, a harlot, not having ears to hear. Lord, would you give me ears to hear? Eyes to see. Lord, forgive me for not listening to wise reproof that would cause me it to be like apples of gold instead of silver, and like an earring of gold, an ornament of fine gold. Forgive me for being a fool, not listening to instruction. Forgive me for hating those that correct me. Forgive me that I've stopped listening to discipline and I've strayed from words of knowledge. Forgive me for turning away my ear from listening to your law. God, forgive me that you've tried to correct me over and over and I've refused to listen. I pray that Lord, I turn to your reproof so that you can pour your spirit out upon me and I'll know your word. And Lord, forgive me that over and over you've tried to correct me and I haven't listened, but today I'm listening, Lord. And I thank you that you're going to hear me today, Lord, because it's not too late. Forgive me for being a blabbermouth. It's all about me, self-centered, always talking about myself, my thing, what I do, driving people crazy with my words. Forgive me, Lord. Lord, can I ask you to forgive me? Lord, I want my words to be like Samuel's, that they don't fall to the ground. Let the words of my mouth, O God, and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, O God, my rock and my redeemer. And Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you that over the next days, you show me everything I've looked at, listened to, that's contaminated me so that I can go back. Movies, you need to renounce the writers, the producers, the directors, the demons, the music people, everything that had anything to do with that movie and break soul ties, because for everyone you sin under, you've got demons. And you'll know the fruit by what's coming out your mouth and your thought life. In Jesus' name, I just command in the name of Jesus every spirit of perversion to go. Double-mindedness, half-stepping, half-hearted, spirits of adultery, fornication, bestiality, pornography, spirits of fear, anger, bitterness, resentment, hatred, strife, murder, go. All spirits of depression and discouragement, go in Jesus' name. I break your power. I command all Pharisee demons to go, all religious spirits, all self-righteous spirits to go. I command, I break all sex hooks. I'll break all hooks that keep reeling people back into pornography and sin. I command the demons out of their eyes, out of their private parts. I command spirits of masturbation to go in the name of Jesus. I break soul ties with every person I've looked at or sinned with. I call back my soul and spirit from them, send back their souls and spirits to them. He's changed their image for the image of Christ. Every demon power, all the fallen, all corruption has to go in Jesus' name. I break your power. All rebellion, all antichrist spirits, all bitterness has to go. Spirits of harlotry, spirits of adultery, spirits of the world, get out in Jesus' name. Spirits that program them, spirits of mind control, spirits of sorcery, leave now in Jesus' name. Spirits of debauchery, go in Jesus' name. Drunkenness, carousing, a party spirit, go in Jesus' name. All the demons that came into sexual sin, you have to go in Jesus' name. Now, in your private life, y'all are going to have to repent of everything you did with all the people that you sinned with and break soul ties, because you get the demons of whoever you have sex with if it's not your wife or your husband. In Jesus' name. All spirits have to go in Jesus' name. Lord, I ask you to cleanse us by the blood of Jesus from all defilement. I command the demons to leave our eyes, spirits of blindness, spirits of eye problems that came in through setting our eyes on evil. Go in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Spirits of pain, go. Hurt, go. I break your power in the mental illness, insanity, confusion, mixed up, damned, uneasy. Go in Jesus' name. I break your power. Loose every person in this room in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you. All the demons that came in through everything they've confessed. Go in Jesus' name. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. When you feel released, lift your hands and sing with me. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before him. Heaven and earth adore him. What a mighty God we serve. Spirits of Leviathan, get out of here in Jesus' name. Pride, arrogance, boastfulness, egotism, haughtiness, insolence, arrogance, rudeness, every demon that came into pornography, homosexuality, go in Jesus' name. Effeminate spirits, go in Jesus' name. Pride, leave, Leviathan, go. Dagon, you have to go. Water spirits, you have to go. All spirits of delusion, lies, lying, have to go in Jesus' name. All deluding influences have to go. I command the flood that has swept away your children. I hold the word of God against it in Jesus' name. Praise you, God. Praise you, God. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. Nothing I desire compares with you. Bless the Lord. Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, self-control. Lord, we ask you to bless the food, purify it, sanctify it, bless those that prepared it. Give them a special blessing, Lord. And Lord, we just thank you and praise you that we have another day of wonderful food here in America. Oh God, we're so good to your children. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.